Today is the feast day of Saints Peter and Paul, and it is also the Sunday within the octave of the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, so there will be a proper last gospel in the Mass this morning for the Sunday within the octave of the Sacred Heart. This first Friday, July 4th, there will be no all-night vigil following the 8 p.m. Mass. That is this first Friday, no all-night vigil. And on July 2nd, there in Round Top, there will take place the ceremonies for the reception of the habit, first profession of vows, renewal vows, and the perpetual profession of vows. And, in fact, Sister Maria Labouré will be taking perpetual vows, and Sister Mary Lawrence will be taking her first vows. And this will take place on Wednesday, July 2nd at 10 in the morning. And all are most welcome and encouraged to attend these ceremonies at the convent. Monday, August 25th, St. Pius V will have its 8th annual golf tournament. All proceeds benefit St. Pius V School Building Fund. So please mark your calendars now and be sure to take a brochure, which is available for you in the vestibule. And Reverend Mr. Paul Krug of the Congregation of St. Pius V will be ordained to the Holy Priesthood on Wednesday, September 3rd of this year, here at St. Pius V Chapel, which ordination will take place at 9 in the morning. Please pick up your copy of the flyer and make reservations for the luncheon, which will follow the ordination. And the students of St. Pius V School will be presenting Reverend Mr. Krug with a gift for his ordination banquet. So if you wish for your family to be a part of this gift, please mail your contribution to the school office. Also, DVDs of the fantastic production of The Scarlet Pimpernel are available for you. So please stop by to pick one up at the bookstore. There are also DVDs of the life of Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, also available after Mass today. And I am sure many more blessings will be showered upon us by the Sacred Heart for the very well-attended Mass in his honor this past Friday night. So please, may God bless you for your sacrifices in making the Sacred Heart feast day. And the epistle appointed to be read for the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12. In those days, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to afflict some of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And seeing that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to take up Peter also. Now it was in the days of the Azymes, and when he had apprehended him, he cast him into prison, delivering him to four files of soldiers to be kept, intending after the Pasch to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shined in the room, and he, striking Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and the chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird thyself and put on thy sandals," and he did so. And he said to him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And going out, he followed him. And he knew not that it was true which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. And passing through the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth to the city, which of itself opened to them. Going out, they passed on through one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And Peter, coming to himself, said, "Now I know in very deed that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew. In That time Jesus came into the quarters of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that the Son of Man is? But they said, Some John the Baptist, and others some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. Jesus saith to them, But whom do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answering said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, because flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And to thee I will give the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth, it shall be bound also in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, it shall be loosed also in heaven. As far as the words of today's Holy Gospel. I say to you that even so, there shall be joy in heaven upon one sinner that doth penance, more than upon 99 just who need not penance. These words are taken from the Gospel of the Mass, the proper of the last Gospel for the Sunday within the octave of the Sacred Heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You've all heard, I'm sure, of St. Francis de Sales. And you probably know that in his lifetime he converted many, many people back to the faith. In fact, it is recorded that he converted 72,000 Calvinist heretics back to the worship of the one true Catholic faith. And when we hear such a remarkable fact such as this, we ask ourselves, how is it possible that just one person was able to effect such good, to convert 72,000 heretics back to the faith? And it is because he was a saint. He truly loved God. And more specifically, he was a true shepherd of souls. He searched, as it says in the Gospel, after the lost sheep. And in his zeal for the salvation of souls, St. Francis de Sales brought many sinners back to the faith. And there is a story that shows this very well. One time in the life of St. Francis de Sales, a certain woman went to confession to him. For years, she had rejected God's grace. And she had for some time been living a life of sin. But moved by grace, she finally determined to change her life and to make a good confession. And this she did by confessing her sins to the gentle saint. St. Francis was very moved by the conversion of this repentant sinner. When he gave her absolution, thus wiping away the sins from her soul, St. Francis felt great happiness because he clearly realized the value. He knew the importance of a soul, and that is why he rejoiced in restoring her soul to the life of grace. Now, on the other hand, the penitent thought, mistakenly so, that he would have little respect for her and look down on her because of what she had done. Because of her great shame, she asked in somewhat an embarrassed tone of voice what St. Francis de Sales now thought of her after having heard her terrible sins. And she said, What do you think of me now since you have heard all the crimes I have been guilty of? Much to her surprise and joy, St. Francis answered her with the following words. He said, My child, I now look upon you as a saint. Let people say and think what they like. They may judge you as the Pharisees judged Mary Magdalene after her conversion. But you know what Jesus Christ thought of her and how he judged her. St. Francis continued saying, "Your past life no longer has any existence. I weep tears of joy because of your resurrection from the grave of sin to a life of grace." And my dear people, this is just one instance during the lifetime of St. Francis de Sales and his conversion of so many people because of his love for souls. And in the gospel for today, we see our Lord's love for the repentant sinner. We see that the shepherd represents our Lord, the supreme shepherd of souls. For just as the shepherd will risk everything to go in search of his lost sheep, so too our Lord used every means possible, necessary, to bring back a stray member of his flock to the sheepfold. You know, in the East, there is a very close relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. He does everything with them. There, he has a name for each one of his sheep. He leads them to pasture. He eats with them. He sleeps with them. Everything he does is in close connection with his sheepfold. Just as Almighty God leads the faithful members of his flock to the sacraments, our Lord draws souls to him to the sacraments by means of grace. The woman in the story was touched by God's grace and was moved to make a good and sincere confession and went on to straighten out her life. And with God's grace and her efforts, she would persevere. Our Lord proves that he is the good shepherd by leading souls like this particular woman to strengthen themselves spiritually with the sacraments. And when, after searching for the lost sheep, he has found it, the shepherd rejoices. Without his sheep, the shepherd's life is, so to speak, completely empty. But when he finds that lost sheep, the shepherd's joy is unspeakable. And my dear people, heaven rejoices when a shepherd of souls, that is, when a priest, is able to lead his faithful sheep to the waters of salvation. As it says in the gospel, that there shall be joy before the angels of God upon one sinner doing penance. St. Bernard says that the tears of penitence are the wine of the angels. And even more than the angels does God rejoice. God's love for souls is so strong that he suffered death on the cross for each and every one of them. During his lifetime, he traveled throughout Palestine teaching mankind the way of salvation. He spent his life on earth saving souls. And so he rejoices more over the sinner doing penance than those who are just and who need not penance. Pope St. Gregory the Great gave a commentary on this gospel passage. And he says that God and his angels rejoice the more because penitents are inclined to be more fervent in their love than those who have not fallen away. He also says that the life of fervent devotion, which follows after sins committed, is often more pleasing to God than that innocence which grows sluggish in its security. So let us, my dear people, imitate this courageous woman and resolve to amend our lives by making a humble and sincere confession. The power of the sacrament of penance restores the life of grace to the soul of the contrite penitent who lost it through mortal sin. Even as the power of the sacrament increases sanctifying grace in the souls of those who receive the sacrament in the state of grace. That's why frequent confession is so important. And thus, if one has had the grave misfortune to lose God's grace, but humbly and truly confesses their sins, they become at once a child of God. No longer are they a stray sheep, but a soul that returns to the state of sanctifying grace and confession is like the sheep that has gone astray and is brought back to the fold through the hands of the shepherd. With his hands, the shepherd carried the sheep back to the flock. Just like St. Francis made the sign of the cross with his hand over the penitent and giving her absolution. It is at these moments in particular that the Sacred Heart rejoices over the return of a soul to the state of sanctifying grace. St. Peter, the first pope, whose feast we celebrate today with St. Paul, St. Peter says in his first epistle, "For you were as sheep going astray, but you are now converted to the shepherd and bishop of your souls." So, my dear people, let us hasten to confession to receive God's grace, that we may not only save our souls by restoring them to sanctifying grace, or increase such grace, but at the same time, draw that much closer to the Sacred Heart. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.